Tonight is really all about just getting us acclimated for a new year. One of the reasons, and I was telling the youth workers last week, one of the reasons that I enjoy youth ministry so much is because of the fresh start that we all have. And really, there's a couple, if you think about it. You've got, obviously now, you're embarking on a new year in whatever grade you've just moved up into. And that's exciting. The slate is clean, in a sense. Whatever you did last year in regards to academics or the type of year that you had, that's in the past now, right? And you're focused on the future and you say, hey, I did well in ninth grade or I did well in 11th grade, but this is the year. This is the year that's out in front of me. It's a fresh new start. The areas that I struggled, I'm going to do better in. The areas that I excelled in, well, I'm going to keep those right at the level that they need to be, and I'm going to go forward. I love a fresh and a brand new start. I think it's always neat. We get into the year a little bit, we get into the fall, and then really we hit the reset button on the year, don't we? I mean, when we get into after Christmas break, and then we start 2019. How many of you cannot believe we're at 2019? I just cannot believe. I remember writing on my paper in school. I remember writing the year. 1961. You're out. You're out. Hey. That's horrible. That's horrible. Okay, 1990, 1991, I remember looking down at my paper and writing these numbers and thinking to myself, you know, wow, 2000, that's like in 9-10 years, that's going to be crazy. How many of you were born after 2000? Okay, everybody in this room, okay? All right, but hey, let me tell you, blink and the time is gone. I mean, literally. I mean, I could get a testimony from each one of the youth workers tonight, and each one of them would attest to the fact that time goes like that, and it's just gone. And let me tell you, every year, I don't know how this is possible, every year, it gets a little bit faster. I don't know how it's possible. I look back at this past summer, and I have no idea where it went. I thought the summer previous was fast, but this past summer was very fast. And so it just keeps going the older you get and that sort of thing, but I'm telling you, I love fresh starts. I love new beginnings. And as we start out as a youth group at a fresh new year, there's some things that I think that no matter who we are, no matter what stage of life we're in, I think there's some things we need to be reminded of. You're in 1 Timothy. Now, notice with me, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Chapter 3 and verse 14. Notice what it says here. Just a couple of verses. 1 Timothy 3. Verse 14 and 15. Look at what it says. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. You know, there are certain environments that lend itself to certain activity. How many of you, in a certain way of conducting oneself, how many of you, whenever you visit an amusement park and you get on a roller coaster, something inside of you just has to go, ah! Who is that? All right, who is that? You just have to scream. Okay, about half of you. How many of you, some of you here are just, you know what, you're the type that you sit there and... You get off. That was like the most awesome thing I've ever done in my life. Okay. All right. And that's just how you react. Okay. Different environments bring out different things in us. Very interesting. How many of you have ever been to Arlington Cemetery? Been there? I'd never been before. We actually went this past weekend. I told somebody that. I said we went on a family outing to Arlington Cemetery. They said, "You took your kids?" I was like, "Yeah." They're like, "You took them to a cemetery." I was like, "Well, I thought it was a good idea." But anyway, so we went, and it's really, I mean, you know, walking around, there's so much historically that can be seen there. And certainly, I owe a great debt to so many who are buried there. But when you're walking around the cemetery with small children, and you're trying to describe to them in just very simple terms, you know, what all this is about, it really puts some things in perspective. We saw a lot of different things there. And how many of you have been there and were surprised at how much walking there is? Anybody like that? And I'll tell you, I had no idea. We've been running on the soccer field, or I've been watching them do most of the running. But anyway, I've been doing a little running myself, and I thought I was in pretty good shape. But we spent a lot of time just walking all through there. One of the places that we stopped at was the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. How many of you have seen that? Boy, I'll tell you, that is sobering to walk through there. And many of you that have gone, you see how those sections, many of them are marked off. What do they say when you start entering one of those sections? Anybody who's gone recently remember? What does it say? Okay, all right, anybody? Sure. Yeah, quiet, okay. Silence and respect, I think, are the two words that they say. And so you'll go into an area and it will just be utterly, you know, quiet, except for the little kids who are out of control that, you know, our parents are trying to keep them in line. But I remember we went in there and we didn't realize it, but we timed it just right, because we got there and we were taking pictures or whatnot. And, you know, here's this soldier that is completely focused in on what he is there to do. And he stands guard over the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And every 21 seconds, he will reposition himself. And he'll walk from one side to the other and reposition himself in another direction. And 21 seconds later, he'll do the same thing. And he'll do that for a couple of hours. Talk about just an area of somberness and silence and honor and respect. Pretty amazing stuff. Like I said, we hit it just right. We were beginning to walk away, and we actually timed it to where it was the changing of the guard. How many of you have seen when they changed the guard? Amazing. I think maybe it took 5 to 10 minutes. I didn't realize the process was so involved, but you know, two gentlemen would come up in sequence, and then the gentleman that overseeing the situation, he looks at the new person who's replacing the one that was there, and he checks his gun a couple of times. He walks around him and makes sure that his uniform is appropriate and is in line, and then he relieves the other, and then goes on out. But I'll tell you, I was just struck with the high level of honor and respect for that area and for those soldiers who are unknown, but nonetheless who are buried there. And you know, when I think about that level of respect, I don't know that you can match it anywhere else. When you're guarding something 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in all kinds of weather, is that not the most honoring thing you could possibly do towards another individual? I can't think of anything that would rival it. But you know one thing, and this is really stuck in my heart, they're giving honor, obviously where honor is due, but they're putting the bar way up here, recognizing the situation. And, you know, I looked at myself and I said, "Wow, Lord, I serve a God that is alive, that created everything. And I get the opportunity, myself, with a lot of other people, to come on Sundays and Wednesdays and be with you even throughout the week and be able to come together and worship a God that deserves all of the honor and all of the respect that we possibly could give him." You know, Paul was writing a young Timothy who was just getting started as a preacher. And Paul made a point to say, Timothy, there's a way that you and I ought to conduct ourselves when we're with other believers. There's a way and a mindset that should be on our thinking when we congregate together with the anticipation of worshiping the living God, as Paul says. And so I ask you today, I just want to draw attention to some very practical ways that you and I can give honor and respect not only to each other, but also to the true and the one and living God. So how should we conduct ourselves in the house of the Lord? Now, some of you are experiencing the schedule for the very first time, things that we're doing, staying in the afternoon, coming. Others of you who've been through it for several years. But let me just give you a few pointers, you know, not only when we meet together here, but when we meet together, whether it be for an activity or something else. First of all, let me tell you one of my burdens. And I shared this with your parents, and it's not a criticism against you. It's really an awareness for the day that we're living in. You and I mention this periodically when I preach and when we meet together, you and I can easily fall under the control of the devices that we have available to us. And that, I mean, iPads, computers, technology, smartphones, all of that. I did not grow up with that influence. But I'll tell you, as it's come along, I've had to intently work to keep it from controlling and absorbing my mind. These instruments that have made our lives really easy in many respects and allowed us to do a lot more than we used to have great power. But at the same time, I believe that one of the greatest challenges of your day, of my day, is getting wrapped up so much in technology and devices that it completely absorbs our attention from the Lord. You say, Brother Scott, what are the things that we're going to focus on this year? And I want you to get this simply based on this fact that you and I, the Lord wants us to be still and know that He is God. Boy, that's challenging. How easy is it in a moment of silence to just reach for our phone? How easy is it when we think to ourselves, well, here's a spot of time to go reach for a device or something like that? It's become a part of us. It's our second nature. But I think that this is one of the biggest challenges that you and I have to recognize and say, okay, there's a time for these things, but at the same time, it can't control me. Technology, cell phones, wonderful way to communicate with each other. Wonderful things that can be done with it. And we're going to have to get another clip, Brother Chase. I think that it's not going to last for too many more minutes here. Maybe if I just stand like this. Technology. Be still and know. That's what we're going to focus on this year. We're going to focus on it and try to put a focus on that so that each of us can be reminded of this principle that we see in Scripture and hopefully be better for it when it comes time for a quiet time with the Lord. So our phones are a blessing, but at the same time, when we're at an activity, when we're in a service, do everyone a favor, do me a favor, just go ahead and put those aside for the sake of what we're here to do, knowing how to behave ourselves in the house of the Lord. Along with that, if you use your device, an iPad or your phone, for your devotions, you have a Bible app on there. There's some great ones out there, by the way. I'm not saying don't use the technology, but I am saying for our purposes, whether it's an activity or it's a youth service, if you just bring a hard copy of God's Word, that way nobody could look at you and say, well, hey, they're just cruising through their social media or something in a service or playing a game or something like that, okay? So bring a hard copy of God's Word. That'll really help us. If you could also remember, as we come together, no matter what the setting is, we are extra sensitive about guy, girl, physical contact, okay? I'm very thankful that this has not been an issue that we've had to make a big deal about in the past, okay? You may, at home, be allowed to do certain things because your parents say, hey, do this or don't do this, okay? When we come together here, you will find that we try to set a bar that is a high standard. And this is one of the areas that we've done that. And we've just tried to make it easy on everybody and say, hey, you know, no guy-girl physical contact, okay? If you're sitting in services here and you're sitting by someone that's sort of special to you in some way, all right, we ask that you be in your own seat, okay? In other words, don't be cozying up next to somebody else, but rather you've got your seat there and then the seat next to you. So the only ones that can get away with that are the youth workers in the back, okay? So you guys can get as close as you want to, all right? Okay, but not too close. It becomes distracting. I can't focus, okay? All right, so listen, if you'd all do me a favor, and if you don't worry about holding hands, don't get into all of that, okay? Just keep your, you know, I say this sometimes, and sometimes when I'm not specific, people just say, well, he didn't say I can't do this specifically, so maybe it's still okay to do this, okay? So, you know, I don't worry about playing footsie in the service, okay? Don't worry about any physical contact. Just keep it at that high bar, okay? All right, so phones, guy-girl contact, extremely important. Here's one, and this touches everybody. Take personal responsibility, okay? Take a responsibility. 9 times out of 10, when we are in the gym and we're eating a meal, someone is going to spill something, okay? But don't look at somebody else and say, hey, why'd you do that, you know? Be proactive. If you've made a mess, you know, clean it up. If you see someone who's made a mess, why not help them clean it up? And we had a teenager in the youth group a couple of years ago that whenever there was a spill, whatever they were doing, wherever they were at, it was like they had a sixth sense. It was like, boom, spill. They'd leave the conversation. They'd go clean it up personally. Okay, that takes great initiative, but hey, that is a great character trait. Okay, but really, if we all police ourselves, it's going to be so much better. So take the personal responsibility upon yourself to say, hey, I made a mess. This is my trash, or something like that. Go ahead and pick it up. Even if it's not yours, it always does us a great service as a youth group to just have a clean premises and to kind of watch out for each other. So if there's trash in the youth room, or you've got a bottle, you've drank out of it, you've left it on the floor, please just put that away. That will leave us a lot less work in the long run. Okay. Please be mindful of your actions. Sometimes people can get to play around, horseplay, something gets broken from time to time. We are very fortunate, and a pastor has always been this way. He's always been very gracious to the youth group. Where did my welcome to team time go? It's gone. It just disappeared. It's gone. Somebody tapped into the... You guys are like... this piano, anybody have any idea how much it costs? $8,000. Miss Hannah knows. You remember? $16,000. Okay. All right, listen. I guarantee you there's not been a pastor who said, hey, let's buy a $16,000 piano for the youth. Okay, that's really unheard of. Okay. And let me say, to your credit, you guys have done a great job of taking care of it. All right. We keep a cover on it for a reason, but especially when you're around this area, please be very careful. We want this to be a great piano for a long time. All right. So part of that is that I know some of you take lessons and some of you like to, you know, play on it and that sort of thing. We try to reserve this for strictly by permission basis only. Okay. So if you are practicing on it, or you got an offertory that you're preparing, just don't assume, well, hey, I can do this, because please ask. We want to keep that nice. Part of that is keeping it in tune and limiting the use. We've got other pianos across the buildings that could can use that that type of practice on it, okay? All right, so let's be mindful of the things that are in the youth room. From time to time, we'll have, during mega time, we'll have some more athletic games, balls flying around and whatnot, and we'll just all work hard to try to protect things around us, okay? Now, if something does get broken, you say, Brother Scott's going to throw me out of the youth group. No, I won't. Okay, I might, but regardless of, please let me know. Let me know if you've broken something or if you notice something that's been broken, please let me know, okay? Throughout the year, no matter when it is, please let me know if you've broken something, okay? As a general rule, please be very careful in here. Sometimes people get excited and they want to walk across the chairs, and boy, I'm telling you, I'm really getting excited about when we hopefully soon move to another premises, because some of these chairs are on their last leg, okay? Yes, all right, some of the cushions and some of the backs are, how many of you notice that when you sit in these chairs, you're already like in the perfect position to sleep? You're like these chairs, okay? All right, I'm looking forward to getting some new chairs. But listen, we need to take care of what we've got, all right? So please don't run it up and down, all right, the seats. If they're stacked up a certain area, please don't do a run and a jump and a land. Okay, just try to keep whatever we've got. We want to keep it nice, okay? Let me just say this. We are blessed to have youth workers, and they've been at this a long time. They many of them have watched you grow up from just a little, you know. And so they are here for you. That they feel burdened for and feel called to specifically helping in the youth department. They could be an asset in Awana's, and many of them serve in other places, but they give a large majority of their time to help in the youth department. I charted out last year, in a typical month, if they came and participated in absolutely everything in relation to youth. Okay, I calculated it all out, all right? Some of you may remember it, some of you may not. I came up with 39 hours a month, okay? Some of them have 40-hour work weeks, okay? So you say, how are they squeezing all that in? Well, they're making time for it. It's ministry. They don't receive compensation for it. Again, like I said, many of them are involved in other aspects of the ministry, but on a personal note, let's take care of them, okay? I don't want them to leave, and you don't either, all right? So please, if you have questions, they're here for you. If you have prayer requests, they're here for you. If you've got things going on and you just want some direction in a particular area, they thrive on that type of thing, and they want to be a help to you. Obviously, my wife and I fall into the same category, okay? So really appreciate their help. If they talk to you about a certain issue, please don't be offended. They're just trying to help you. That's at the core of everything we do. Same for me. I wish that everybody could leave teen time or every interaction or every practice motivated and gung-ho about serving the Lord. I wish that everybody would go away every single meeting that way. But chances are we're going to have some type of interaction along the way that may not be as positive as at other times, strictly because we all need to be reminded about things, okay? Don't be offended. Just understand that we're trying to help you and all of that. Okay, real quick, want to mention this about our transition from school time to our mega time, all right? We're doing things different this year. Some of you have already figured that out, okay? The process is everybody will be fed down through the locker rooms, girls and guys. If you're staying in your school attire, you'll go and you'll wait on the bleachers, okay? Once everybody is done changing and on the bleachers, then we'll lead everybody up here, where today we didn't do it, but typically we'll have a sign-in sheet. You can sign in. That just lets us know who is in our possession and who is not, okay? So we'll have that list. We'll use that list in regards to visitation when it comes time for that. So if you could just remember that process. If you get done early, don't just come on up here. You'll be by yourself. The process is going through the locker rooms out into the gymnasium where you'll wait, and then we'll all come up. You can fellowship on the bleachers, but don't just wander around or even come up here. OK, Okay? So that's important. A few things in regards to mealtime. How many of you have met the Wiggs? You've met the Wiggs. You've had conversations with them. Mr. Wiggs sometimes likes to give everybody a hard time. So the Wiggs are a blessing. They've been doing meals here for a long time. And when we go through the line, let me give you just a couple of things to remember. Number one, guys always let the girls go first. Okay, now, while I say that, there are certain ones that are involved in special music. Okay, those people who are involved in special music need to be at the front of the line because they've got 10, 15 minutes less than you do for eating. Okay, so please be conscious of that. It's only going to be a few people, but just understand if they're at the front or trying to inch toward the front, they'll let you know that they're in special music. Okay, aside from that, girls go first. When you go through the line, please be respectful, okay, of whoever is serving and be thankful, okay? I think Micah touched on it earlier. Teenagers around the world do not help you out in any way. There is a very much a stereotype or a stigma attached to teenagers that they're not respectful, they're not courteous, and they don't care about things, okay? That's the world's view of teenagers. They're not responsible. You guys have made a great name for yourself in that you guys have done very well in being respectful, in my opinion. You've done well in being thankful, but let's keep it up. Okay, as we go through the line, be respectful of who's serving, be thankful. Make sure that you let them know that you're appreciative of the fact that, you know, they're scooping your food, doing all this stuff, okay, for you. All right? Be thankful for that. Meal times, you can sit on the bleachers, you can sit in the open space over on the seating. And we'll get into this in later times when the teams are divided up. But when it's time for cleanup, if everybody just in the next few weeks will help out, that would be great. Don't be that person that is just looking for the chance to slip through the hallways and up to the carpet ball table, okay? Carpet ball table will be here when you get here, I promise you, okay? But please focus on cleaning up. Many hands make light work, okay? But if only a few people are doing most of the work, then it's going to slow down the process. So everybody needs to help out and get involved when it comes to meal times, okay? Like I said before, we don't have a lot of time to eat, so make good time of that. When it comes to teen choir and you come up, jump in your spot, sit in your section and be ready to sing. In the teen service, touched on the fact that you need to have a hard copy of God's Word when you come in. If you're prone to forgetting it, just use the Bible that you use for Bible class here if you attend school here. But do your best to have a Bible. We'll try to have some extras if you forget yours. Do your best to listen to the announcement time. I know sometimes that sometimes we feel like we need to comment on everything that is said. And I'll be really honest with you. I was that type of teenager. I was not always the outwardly funny, controlling the atmosphere type of person. I was usually the funny, quiet comment that broke out the people around me in laughing, okay? And then I became very good at making it look like it was someone else, okay? I don't encourage that. That's not a good thing to do, and that's probably why I pick up on it pretty easily when I'm looking at it, you guys. Okay, so listen, a couple of times that I see this the most is during announcement time, and then sometimes I see it during the preaching time, okay? I realize that some people are not acclimated to this type of environment, and that's okay. All I asked is that you be willing to learn, okay? Be willing to learn and to listen. Don't distract the person next to you. You know, when you realize that God could be doing something in their heart at that very minute and that you could be distracting them away from something that God wants to do in their heart, well, I don't know about you, but that's not something that I want on my conscience. You know, if you've got somebody that's sitting beside you who's not paying attention, okay, you know, be proactive. You know, give them a nudge. Say, hey, you know, he's preaching, or it's announcement time, or something like that. I know that's not always the most comfortable thing, but that creates a positive environment for worship. And that's what we want. There's a way that we want to behave ourselves in the house of God and when we're together. Let me give you a couple of things that are really important. Number one, we've got our questions box. We've got it back again this year. This was something that was very profitable last year, and I thank you guys for not putting foolish things in the box, all right? I think throughout the whole year, I don't think I got anything of this person likes this person, okay? Most of it, all of it, were serious questions. And the point of this is this. I understand that sometimes youth workers are intimidating. Okay, I understand that as a teenager, sometimes it's not comfortable to ask certain questions. I remember as a young teenager getting up the courage to talk to my dad about some very fundamental things in the Christian life that I was struggling with. And that was uncomfortable. And he was my dad. Maybe you are on the other end of the spectrum and you feel liberty, just whatever pops into your mind, a Bible question or something you're struggling with, and you readily share it. But realize that most people aren't that way. Thus the box. This comes in handy because it allows you to ask a question about a certain topic. It could be something that maybe is going on, in your life, or completely unrelated. It can be anonymous. In fact, all of the questions that have been put in there, I think thus far, have been anonymous, which is fine. But I will take some of those questions, and I will spend about 2 minutes in answering those questions, okay? We want you to get your questions answered, okay? We all have them. It's not a matter of, well, if they have questions, I hope you ask them. It's, I know you've got questions. But I do pray that you'll get answers to your questions and you'll seek those answers. So that's why the box is there. It'll go over on the ledge. And whenever you'd like to ask a question, write a little question on a paper, drop it in there. Brother Matt and I are going to split some of the responsibilities in answering those questions from week to week. Okay. The other thing is we do have the book table back. Miss Christina and I spent some time over the summer collecting some resources for the book table. We're very receptive to that last year and ended up getting some great resources. And truth be told, we want to present those to you. We want you to have access to them. So I think that they're very important. We'll have that and always announce that when things get going. Now, tonight we don't have the impact manuals to give to you, but we will have them next week. Okay, and that's because the point system is another topic entirely. But we wanted to lay the groundwork just so that everybody has a general understanding of what we expect when we come to the house of God, okay? I know that the Lord's got some awesome plans for us this year. I know that there are some of you that are going to experience a year of growth in your Christian life unlike you've seen the previous years. And my desire is that as we come together, we would have a unified vision for worshiping the Lord. Okay, so let's take Paul's advice to Timothy. Let's behave ourselves wisely throughout the year in the house of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for the ability that we have to receive instruction from it. Lord, even in practical matters of coming to teen time, Lord, we're going to talk about some awesome biblical truths, and I'm excited about that, Lord, as I've been spending time, Lord, with you and Lord, preparing for these moments going forward. Lord, I can barely hold my tongue on some of those things that we're going to talk about. But Lord, I pray that you would make us all receptive. Lord, I pray that each one of us would look forward to these times of coming together. And each one of us would ask ourselves the question of, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, we serve you who is all-powerful and who is alive. Lord, I pray that our actions, our conduct, as Paul said, would represent a spirit of awe and respect and honor that you so deserve. I pray, Lord, that there would not be one thing in our lives that would distract away. Lord, as the soldier who stood in honor of respect of those who, Lord, had paid the ultimate sacrifice, Lord, I pray that we would be just as attentive to you and bringing honor to your wonderful name. Father, we ask that you would help this youth group, Lord, these individuals, may we grow closer together this year and grow closer to you. Father, we need to grow. Give us a desire to hunt that hunger and thirst after you. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen.